Welcome to the Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast with your own Desiana Torres. This is a place for humbled, open, and transparent conversations with members of our own community. Here you can find diverse testimonies of the oppression and trauma faced on both individual and community levels. Do you want to validate the suppressed emotions you've never had the opportunity to speak about? Interested in breaking the silence? Then let's validate all that you feel right here, right now on this podcast. Let's go. Another episode of Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast. This month we are still talking about mental health, and I'm super excited for the guests that we also have. I always say I'm super excited, but I want y'all to know that storytelling is so empowering and it's so impactful, and it's something that I really appreciate for the simple fact that I am able to recognize how it is transformative in the way that we are able to analyze our own struggles or also build perspectives that are different from what we had maybe been experienced to. And so while we wait for folks to join in, I see our special guest is already here, so I'm gonna go ahead and acknowledge that. And today I really would like for us to continue to engage in the comments as we have. I feel like providing this platform is really a community effort to release and also be inclusive to the experience of others who might relate to what we hear today or might not relate to it but may know someone who does. And so with the conversation that we are going to be engaging in today, I really want folks to understand what it takes to really come forth and share our story, our perspective, our experience. Sometimes it's really a scary thing, and so I really want us to give props for those who really come on here and allow themselves to be a vessel to share themselves to the rest of the world. And so I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest speaker. We have Tajanae. Tajanae Four is a wife of almost 7 years, y'all. She's also a mom of four. Her stepson, who is, I believe, 16 years old, also 11-year-old, and twins who are six. And Tajanae is also a state employee and an artist, as well as someone who enjoys exercising, dancing, writing, and also sharing some positivity. And so Tajanae will be sharing her experience with mental health, trauma, and persevering through her own struggles. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome Tajanae in. While we wait, I'm going to encourage folks to utilize the comment section. If you're listening to the podcast, on Apple or Spotify, hello. I know you can't comment, but I promise you I hear y'all as well. Hi, Tajanae.
Hi, Desi. How are you?
Good, good. I know we checked in a little earlier today, and I'm so glad that you were ecstatic to be a part of this podcast series, but more so being able to highlight your truth. And so what I want folks to do, because I know I introduced you already, I want folks to know a fun fact about you.
A fun fact about me. Recently, I found out that dancing is my favorite exercise. So I use my Instagram to share positivity, and I share my exercise videos and dancing. And so that's a fun fact about me.
That's definitely a fun fact. I know that I was just looking at your videos today, and it inspires me because dancing is also a way that I am able to connect with myself and also release things that I've been through. And I feel like I oftentimes find myself dancing more in the bathroom than I do any other room. And I don't know if it's just because I have privacy in the bathroom and I can just be as wild as I want. But just seeing you being able to be in tune with your body and be so intentional with the songs you listen to, because I hear the songs too and I'm like, that's from, you know, this playlist, or I recognize this song from this artist. And the message that you share out on your platform is allowing folks to understand that it's okay to be in tune with who we are and dance whatever feelings we got, just dance them off, shake them off. And so I definitely encourage you to continue to utilize your platform in that way, because it does have an impact. Like, I can say that personally. When I see you dancing on there, I'm like, okay, I need to get up and do something for myself. And so thank you for that. And so we're going to jump right into the podcast. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yay. Okay. So the first question that I have is, have you ever experienced a terrible occurrence that has impacted you significantly? And what that could look like is, it could be something that you either experienced personally or something that you have witnessed.
Yes. So I have many terrible occurrences that have impacted me significantly. One of them being I lived in a two-parent toxic household. My dad was very physically and mentally, emotionally abusive towards my mom. He used to beat her till she was unconscious. She used to have to go to the hospital for broken bones and bleeding profusely. I remember this one time I actually witnessed it myself. My mom was screaming, and I went into the room, and he was beating her while she was in the closet, bedroom closet, with a belt. And she was fully pregnant, close to full term, and she ended up going into labor because of that incident. Mom was also very abusive toward my sister. After she had me, she got pregnant within like 2 months, and so she didn't really deal with her postpartum depression. She ended up getting pregnant and she wanted an abortion. But my dad told her no. And so she carried this baby, my sister, without having any emotional connection with her. And she gave birth to her and she wasn't attentive to her. She didn't really take care of her. So just seeing how my mom gave me love and my brother's love and wasn't there for my sister. She used to di she didn't take care of her, change her, feed her. My dad had to do all that. I remember me and my grandmother been in the kitchen and having to scramble food, steal food out of the kitchen to just go feed my sister because she wasn't getting fed, or catching her drinking out of the toilet because she's so thirsty. Like, very traumatic. Also, my dad going to prison. He found out that my mom was cheating. And he went to go confront the man that she was cheating with. And he came home and he was bleeding, face really messed up because he got jumped by the man in his family. And he ended up grabbing some of his guns and leaving. And then shortly after, he comes back and he's like, "Go get your backpack." So I run in the room, go get my purple princess backpack, come back. And he's like, he started to put his guns in my backpack. And then he grabbed me and my siblings, my mom, we get in the car. We drive from 77th and Greenside to 69th and Bancroft by Eastmount Mall, and he takes a left and then he stops. And then I hear a loud sound, someone yelling, "Get out of the car, put your hands up, you're surrounded." And my mom just instantly started crying and yelling, "We have kids in the car, we have kids in the car." She just kept saying it over and over again. And eventually they got out the car, they laid on the ground. They got handcuffed, and me and my siblings got out the car, and we sat on the sidewalk waiting for my granny and my aunt to come get us. My dad was sentenced to 6 years in prison, and my mom, she spent, I believe, just a few months because she only went for a warrant, and she was released. I could just keep on. It's just so many traumatic experience that I had mainly from childhood that has affected me tremendously.
I really appreciate you for really going there and really being as open and vulnerable in sharing some of the experiences that we sometimes carry a lot of shame and guilt around, I can personally really relate to your story when it comes to the domestic violence and being someone who, yeah, is little but still has a conscience to understand what's going on and that it wasn't good. I know that dealing with domestic violence definitely can impact our mental health and more so how we are able to view love and experience love for ourselves. And I just want to acknowledge and appreciate the ways that you were able to help show up in the ways that your mother lacked. So when you were talking about understanding and noticing that your mother was neglectful to your sister, and you coming up with ways, especially you being young yourself, coming up with ways to try to give your sister that attention and that food and that affection that was needed because of the impacts of how maybe the story came about. Like you mentioned before, your mother was not attached to this child due to her understanding that she was still recovering from having a baby to begin with. And postpartum depression is something that can really impact the way that you connect to a child. More so how you connect to yourself. And so I just want to validate what you were sharing in terms of that, but also really, really appreciate the ways that you were able to show up and find strength for your family. And so, with those experiences, especially being pulled over and being a young girl and having that encounter with police officers, I can understand how triggering that can be as well. And when you mentioned also you grabbed your purple princess backpack, my heart dropped as soon as you expressed that because it shows the innocence of where you were. It shows the innocence of your age, but the reality that you were faced with at such a young age, having to grab something that was so special to you to cover up something that was so violent and so, disturbing to your own life in the ways that it occurred. And with that being said, what I wanted to know too is that when you were experiencing a lot of this, and I know this is only a portion of what your life experiences have looked like. And so, with these particular life experiences, what did the support look like after that, or while you were going through that?
Support. I really at that time feel like I didn't have it. I feel like it was we lived in a household that everything that happened was hush hush. Everything that happened was, we don't speak about this outside the home. And then it also seemed normal, like no one really talked about it, so I guess it's okay type of thing. So support for those incidents, I really did not have. I really didn't talk about or work through. So eventually, my support system did become my obviously God and also my granny and my pawpaw. My granny was like my comfort zone, the lady I ran to when things were tough or I needed her help. And my grandfather is a big Christian man. He took me, my siblings, my cousins, all to church since we were babies. So we grew up in church. So those three are my were my support when those traumatic things did happen.
And I'm so thankful for grandparents because, for many reasons, they oftentimes are saviors or are places of peace, especially when it comes to their embrace. I don't know, it's something about their hugs and their kisses that just takes away some of the pain that we feel and allows for us to just feel safe, even if it's just for that moment, you know? I acknowledge and appreciate the way that your grandparents were able to help you, in a sense, connect to the higher power and help you build that relationship so that you can have hope for those better days. And I feel like for most folks, we can understand and relate to that experience too, of us having to go through so much trauma and tribulations. And in that same experience or life experience, being able to try to find hope in someone who can be our savior. And so, when it comes to that support, oftentimes what we recognize is that relationship with the higher power and God really connects us to how we evaluate life, how we recognize tribulations. Because while we're going through it, some of the questions we can ask is, well, why me? Why does this have to happen to me? Why does this have to be my life experience? Why can I have not been born to parents who could have gave us a life, a different life, to where we didn't have to have the struggles that we face today? And with that support, I really want to acknowledge also that you mentioned that sometimes a lot of the stuff we go through is not talked about, and sometimes it is normalized to the point where no one questions it when it happens. Especially growing up, that I can say, me and you both met in, I don't know if it was middle school. Was it Calvin Simmons? Yeah, we met in Calvin Simmons. And middle school in itself, I can say for me personally, I had already been through so much. And I can also understand how at such a young age, it's so confusing to understand, to process, and to also try to make friends with everybody else around you when you just feel like your whole life is kind of chaotic. And the next question that I have for you that I feel that you can really connect to is, how frequently in that time did you grow interest in activities that you usually enjoyed?
So before I answer that question, something I wanted to talk about that you mentioned was us questioning God. Like, why are we here? What's our purpose? I remember my second suicide attempt. I was 13 and I took all my depression, anxiety medication, any pills I could find around the house. I took them all and laid on the couch, just ready to go. And my grandfather came over unannounced and he asked me, "What's wrong with you?" And I told him, "I'm just waiting to die." And so he got me up and he took me to the car and took me to the hospital and told them something's wrong with her. This isn't normal. And so they asked me, "What's wrong with you? What did you do anything?" And I told them I took a lot of pills. They gave me this charcoal mixture that they had me drink, and eventually I vomited everything up. And they sent me to, oh, sorry, my son came. Sorry. But they sent me to a mental hospital, and my grandfather came and visited me. And I was so upset with him when he came. I asked him, like, "Why did you do that?" I was going to be free. I was going to be free from all this pain and misery. You know, I didn't want to deal with this world anymore. And I didn't understand my purpose. I don't understand why God created me, why he would put me through all of this. And my grandfather said, "I did this because I love you and because God loved you. And because even though you're going through a lot of pain right now, just like everyone else in this world is, one day you're going to be grateful that I did this. And you're going to, even though you don't understand your purpose now, one day you will. And you'll be grateful." And so at 30 years old now, I had to call him up, like, "Papa, I remember when this had happened. And you told me I was going to find my purpose. I was going to understand my purpose." And I was like, "I finally do. And thank you so much, you know, for stepping in and taking care of me and helping me." Because I look at my children, my biggest blessings, and I'm like, if I was to succeed, if I were to succeed in that, I would not have them. So at the time, I did not understand God's purpose for me, why he created me, but now I do, and I'm so grateful to be alive. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, and I recognize that oftentimes it's so easy to want to give up because life is it gets really hard, it gets overwhelming, and sometimes we are not provided with the tools or the support that's needed for us to cope with what's going on. And because it begins to feel so heavy, sometimes it is, I don't want to say it's easy to make that decision because it's one of the hardest decisions you can ever make, you know? But it's also one of those things where you're also comfortable with doing because you don't want to, you know what this feels like, and you're like, I'm done with it. Like, I don't want to feel this anymore. And when it comes to suicide ideation, for those who are listening now, if that is something that you were experiencing personally, or you're struggling, or you have those thoughts that you want to give up, I definitely encourage you all to seek the resources, seek help, because there's definitely opportunities for you to be met with folks who can teach you and cope with you and help you build those skills that are essential for you to find how to survive when you feel like you're drowning right now. So I just wanted to acknowledge that as well. Another question that I came up with while we were having this discussion is, what support do you think your younger self needed when you are experiencing that?
I obviously feel like I needed resources, I needed therapy, I needed someone to talk to and be open with. I also forgot to mention that my sister, my youngest sister, she's a year younger than me, she was my support system. So another traumatic event that happened was being molested at 7 years old. So my mom started dating while my dad was in prison, and one of her boyfriends at the time, I went to the store with him and sat in the front seat. And as I was grabbing my seatbelt to strap myself in, he started touching me and kissing me. And I just froze up and I didn't move. I didn't say nothing. I didn't really understand what was going on. But we ended up going back home, and I went in the room with my sister, told her what happened. And she's like, "You need to tell mama." And so it was weird because I was able to verbally tell her, but I felt like I couldn't verbally tell my mom. And so I had to write it down when that happened. And I took her, I went in the living room, gave her the letter, and went back into my room. And then a few minutes later, she called me. So I came in and she was sitting on his lap and she held up the letter and she was like, "Is this true?" And I said, "Yes." And she's like, "No, it's not true. You just want me to get back with your dad." And I was like, "It is true." I automatically felt hurt. I automatically started crying, but I started yelling at her like, "It's true." And she's like, "No, you can't be saying stuff like this. You can get people in trouble. It's not true." So we're just going back and forth yelling at each other to the point where I had to leave the house. And this is at night. And so I ran from 77th and Greenside all the way to my granny house on 72nd and Hamilton. And my aunt opened the door and she's like, "Well, you know, what are you doing here at this time of night?" And I told her what happened. And so she instantly called my mom and started cursing her out. And, "How could you believe a man over your child? What type of mother are you?" And so I confided in her. And so whenever I did feel like I had struggles, I started to go to her and talk to her about them until she started to use my words against me to hurt me, to talk bad about me. And those two events of communication at that time really affected me as an adult. I felt like, what was the point of talking? If I was to talk to somebody, they would either not believe me like my mom did, or they would use my words against me to hurt me. And so as an adult at 30 years old, I still have problems with communication. So I'm still dealing with that. But I feel like at that time, I really needed someone for my support to listen to me, to believe me, to understand me, and to help me when I was going through stuff. And I didn't have that at that time.
Yeah. And especially when you're going through life circumstances or experiencing some forms of trauma, the first thing that you want to do is run to somebody who can help. Because sometimes, like you said, you were so young, you weren't understanding what was occurring in the car. You're probably confused, like, "Wait, what's going on here that you froze up?" And that is one of those, when they talk about freeze, flight, or fight, that's one of those responses that is often experienced with young adults. And one of the first actions that we engage in is to freeze, because you're like, "Whoa, what is it? This is different. I'm not used to this." And I want to acknowledge how much it took for you to write it down on that letter, because like you said, it was hard for you to communicate and say it out loud. And I'm thankful that your sister was able to encourage you to share that and to have your mother be aware of what was going on, whether she was able to believe it or not. I think one of the hardest parts for me to imagine is to see her sitting on his lap in the midst of you just telling her what he had done to you. In that moment, I felt like what you really needed was a hug. And what you really needed was to believe with the truth that you were sharing. Oftentimes, especially when I was a clinical therapist, oftentimes there were a lot of young women who also struggled with their parents not taking them serious when it came to sexual assault or any kind of sexual abuse, when it came to either family members, those that they trusted, partners that they brought into the house. And I've always questioned why that was. Why is that the experience that many of us go through when we are so young and so innocent? It's not like our minds are that creative to come up with something, a scenario or a situation like that. And for you being able to run to your family's house and your granny's house and be able to open up to your auntie and get that support when it came to that, I'm thankful for that. And something that you also acknowledge after that was the fact that it kind of started to shift after that with your auntie. And how does those experiences that we have as kids impact the way that we communicate today? And I love that you brought up that point, because there's so many folks who are listening right here, right now, who can empathize and understand what it's like to vocalize the ways that we are being abused or mistreated and not being met with that support and not being met with those resources or those connections to help us feel safe again. And so as an adult now, how do you notice that continues to impact the way that you exist or your relationships that you have?
So as I mentioned, the communication piece, I actually didn't recognize the communication piece until I started writing my book. And so as I'm writing my book and I'm remembering everything that happened, all the events that happened in childhood, I'm starting to analyze those events and see how they affect me as an adult. And so the communication piece was a big one that I was able to recognize and see, okay, that's why, I can't communicate to my partner what I need or how I'm feeling because of situations like this. Another thing that affected me as a child and up to now was being a parent at 6 years old. And so when my dad went to prison, my mom became really heavy in alcohol. And at 6 years old, I'm taking care of my 5-year-old sister, my 3-year-old brother, and my youngest brother, who's just a few months old. And so to me, becoming an adult and starting my own family, they still come to me like, you're my second mom, and I need your help with this and this and that. And for a while, I was doing it. But then I had to detach myself and remind myself I'm not their mother. I'm their sister. I created my own family, and my family, my husband, my children, they come first. And so it was one of the biggest things I had to do was to set boundaries with my siblings. So that is currently still affecting me, even with my youngest brother, who's currently serving time at prison. I still feel this motherly connection with him because I feel like he was my first child. He was just 3 months old when I started taking care of him. So that was another experience as a child that's still affecting me now.
Are you the oldest of all your siblings?
I am.
Wow. I connect with you so much on that because I, being the oldest too, when it came to my parents' separation and my father's absence, I had to step up and help my mom, And it's just one of those things that you do without questioning. And then it's like we assume that is our role until you get older and you're like, that actually was not my responsibility, But again, like, what support do we have if we don't take care of them? Who will, And I know, like, a lot of us may have support from our grandparents. Like, I did have support from my grandma as well, but it wasn't all the time, And so, when it costs us our childhood, and when we build those connections, you do start to see your siblings as like your kids, and it's like this weird. I don't want to say a weird relationship, but it's one of those impactful ones that you genuinely care about their well-being. Like, you almost have like that motherly role. And when it comes to our communication style, I understand also when you said that you didn't start recognizing it until you start writing your book. Because I didn't start recognizing a lot of the stuff that I had been through or why I was reacting the way I did or why I would pull away in times of trouble or why I would become avoidant if I felt like I wasn't heard or misunderstood. And these parts of my personality were really explained and expressed by the traumas that I experienced and how they were dealt with. And so when we become adults, it's hard to know why you are the way you are until you start doing that internal work. Or until you really start reflecting on your life experience and be like, damn, you know what? Like, that makes sense why I have trouble communicating. Because when I did communicate, no one listened. No one thought I was telling the truth. People told me to shut up. People told me what happens in the house, stay in the house. And so, how can I navigate the world with that is my baseline of where I've been left at? That is my form of communication. If I tell somebody something, they don't hear it, I pull away. Right? And so, what I want to also understand is the process of you writing your book. I know that we met before about you reached out to me and you said, I want to write a book. Can you help me? How do I get started? I want to know, what has that journey been like for you, and how are you able to manage your mental health when you go back to revisit those memories?
The journey is definitely hard. I reread the beginning multiple times, and I just go back a lot to make sure I didn't miss anything or to analyze my behavior as an adult now. Right now, I am stuck in this one event, this one place, and it's actually the after the molestation part. And on 77th and Greenside. And so when I reread some of the events, I become very depressed. And I'm using my coping mechanism, I'm using my coping skills.
No, I believe she may have paused for a second. We're going to go ahead and wait and see if she...
But is understanding that I need some... I need to go back to therapy. So I've been going to... I've seen multiple therapists since I was 12. And I never really put the effort into really talking to them about my problems because I didn't want to revisit the past. And so as an adult, I realized that I need to go back to therapy. I'm not able to be the mom I want to be. I'm not able to be the wife I want to be when I'm in these depressive moments. It's affecting my family. You know, my husband, he loves me, he supports me. He's concerned when he sees that I'm not in the place that I would like to be. So he's asking me like, hey, Nay, what's wrong? What can I do to help you? And it automatically irritates me because I don't know what's wrong. I just know I'm sad. I don't know why. And then they come home from school and they're like excited, have all this excitement and want to tell me about their day and want to play games and, you know, read bedtime stories. And I just don't have the energy. I feel like a zombie. I'm dull. And I don't want to be that way with them. So I was like, I need to go back to therapy. So I reached out to my therapist and told her, hey, I'm doing the coping mechanisms. I'm working on my mental health. I'm working on my physical health. And I'm still very depressed. And it's taken so long for me to come out of it. So I don't understand what else I need to do. She's like, I see you're doing the work, but you don't want to revisit the past. She said the trauma is instilled in your nervous system, and until you addressed it, you probably won't be able to move forward the way you want to. So I'm going back to therapy. That's going to be is very fearful. I have a lot of fear with it because I don't want to revisit the past. Like I said, I don't want to go to the dark place, and I have a fear that I'm not going to be able to come out of it. But I'm trying to counter those negative thoughts with positives, like, oh, I can't wait till I finish therapy because I'm going to be so strong. I'm about to get over this childhood trauma and move forward with my book and be able to publish it and not have to keep stopping because this is too traumatic for me. So those are some of the experience I have been dealing with while writing this book.
Yeah, thank you for answering that. I want folks to know that writing a book is not easy, especially when it's about your life. And I could feel that 100%. I wrote my book in a month. And I have never traumatized myself as much as I did when I wrote that book. Because I gave no space to actually feel what I was feeling. I didn't give myself time to pause. I didn't give myself time to really practice self-care. My mind was set on getting this done. And so while I'm revisiting those memories, which you can relate to as well, they are painful, and you feel things that you didn't grant yourself to feel when it happened. And I feel like that's the hardest part, because we've been running from our feelings because that's what we've been taught. We've been seeing everybody not dealing with it. We've been seeing everybody not coping in healthy ways. So then when it comes to us in our own life experiences, how can we allow ourselves to engage in activities that are both positive and beneficial to us when we are still feeling like we are drowning in the midst of it? You're like, yeah, I'm actually in a depressive episode. How is breathing going to help me get out of that, you know? Or deep breathing going to help us? And I love that you said that the trauma is stored in our nervous system. That, for the listeners who are listening, right, I want you to understand there's a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And that book really does help identify in the ways that trauma can impact us and how it can really be stored inside of us to the point where so many of us function breathing fast. And I can explain that in a way that when I went to my master's program, they would always start off with us having these moments of deep breath and meditation. And when I tell you, I've never been so uncomfortable in my life when it came to just breathing slow and having a pace with myself. Because I didn't know how to do that. I am someone who always experienced so much trauma, so my breath was always quick, like, because it's almost like I'm expecting for something else to happen. I'm so accustomed to things occurring all the time that I'm like, what else is going to happen? What else is going to come in my way? What else am I going to have to prepare for? And that kind of mindset really does impact the peace that we can have when we're not being attentive to what our body is saying. And when it comes to those healthy coping skills, those deep breathing exercise, sometimes when you first begin to do it, it's not going to really feel like you're doing anything positive for yourself. It just feels like it's a waste of time. But the more that you do it, the more I start to biologically see a difference in how I was able to navigate my day-to-day basis or my day-to-day duties or my roles as a mother and this and that and that. It's like you're being pulled in so many different directions. And so when you were acknowledging what it was like while writing your book, I first want to give you props for reaching out to a therapist and being accountable and acknowledgeable of where you were and saying, I need more help than this. Because so many folks get embarrassed to ask for help because we assume that we're just supposed to have it all together. And that's not real. That's not the human experience for many of us. The people that you see on social media who you think have it all together, most likely they don't. They're human as well. They probably just have a better way of hiding it to where it can convince us of otherwise. But when it comes to our own mental health, what is important, at least for us to recognize, is when we are in a depressive episode, what kind of things do you stop doing for yourself that you normally do when you're not in a depressive episode, right? For me, it's drinking tea. When I'm drinking tea and taking my vitamins, I'm not in a depressive episode. When I'm like, nah, I don't need tea. Nah, I don't need my vitamins. When I'm not taking care of myself, that's when I start to recognize, like, oh shit, like, fuck, I think I'm being pulled into this depressive episode. For many folks, it can feel so normal. You're like, this is my home, this depressive staying in my room, not really being present, kind of just resting. It could feel as your normal. And so when it comes to you, Tajane, in your role as a mother, a daughter, an employee, an artist, I mean, you're pulling different directions as well. How has it been managing your mental health, knowing that you still almost have to still show up for all these responsibilities?
So in the past, I was not a believer in positive affirmations. I did not believe in self-care, self-love. I honestly, when I was dealing with my depression and anxiety, I wanted a magic pill. I wanted something to automatically make me happy. I used to wish for a new brain. I used to even wish, like, oh, I hope I get in a car accident and get amnesia and just start over again. Like, I didn't want to remember. But lately, I think it was within the past 2 years, I decided that I'm going to put my effort into actually taking care of myself, my mental health. And I said, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. to get that me time to work on my mental and physical health. It took me 2 years to discipline myself to get out that bed at 5 a.m. And one of the things that helped me was when those procrastination thoughts come in, always, you know, it's too early, it's too cold, I'm too tired, I automatically is like, start thinking about the reasons why I want to get up at 5 a.m. I want to get up at 5 a.m. because I want to exercise. I want to do the yoga, Pilates. I want to journal. I want to meditate. I want to pray. I want to read my Bible. And then eventually I started getting up at 5 and I started being consistent with it. Another thing that helps is going for a morning walk. And I don't care if it's raining outside. I'm going to go outside and get some fresh air because I need that before I start my day with work. And then also communicating with my husband. I've been working on my communication. And so being open with him and trying to get help when I need it. Like, babe, I need you, you know, to watch the kids right now. I need a break. So all those things have been helping me constantly. And then also dancing and being vulnerable and sharing positivity with others. That's also has been helping my mental health.
Almost like we have to re-transform the way our brain works, right? It's like you got to rewire what you've been taught your whole life, and then you have to teach yourself what you should have been taught your whole life. And sometimes those two things can counter each other because at some points you're conflicted, like, wait, I've been taught all this. So is this right? Is this not right? And having to combat the negativity is because we've been so used to it all the time. And having to speak life to ourselves sometimes feels weird. You're like, I can do this. I believe in myself. And you're looking in the mirror, but you're like, but I actually don't believe in myself. So I'm saying things that I feel weird to say because I don't believe it. And the purpose of affirmations is being repetitive with it so that it can combat that negative thinking that we oftentimes engage in. Because oftentimes what we recognize is the voices that exist in our head that are telling us, you can't do it, that's stupid, no one's going to buy it. All those voices are from people that have spoke that into our life. And so we continue to hear it in a sense of like it transforms and creates in our identity. And then we identify with that. Well, I guess I'm never going to be great in life because someone always told me that I wasn't going to be great. Or maybe I can't experience peace because my life has been nothing but traumatic experiences. And I love when you said, instead of focusing on the negative, when you said getting up at 5 a.m, instead of like, oh, it's raining, it's cold. And because that's where I'm at right now. Okay. I'm trying to build my self-discipline, especially with going to the gym, and I'm struggling. And I'm definitely going to try focusing more on the benefits. When I get up at 5 a.m, I'm going to give myself, my body, the attention it needs. I'm going to give myself the emotional attention I've been seeking to journal out and release whatever it is that I'm carrying. Being so intentional with the way we exist, the way that we cater to ourselves, is what helps combat those depressive episodes that we are often in. Something I also want to acknowledge is the fact that you have a partner who is just so supportive, like having a husband who's just like, baby, what you need? I got you. Like, you need some rest? Go ahead. But that's also acknowledging when you're not at your best to offer that support as well. I think that's super ideal for many folks when they're looking for partners. It's like, I want a lifetime partner who can contribute to my growth, who can understand where it is that I am right now and help speak life to me in ways that maybe I'm not accustomed to or used to. And so I love that you also mentioned that some of the things that you do are dancing, you journal. And so the next question is going more deeper into that. And so I know in the ways that how you practice self-care, you just explained that as well. How does it make you feel? What's the difference that you feel when you practice self-care versus when you don't, when it comes to your mental health?
I want to really explain something that happened that started off the journey of self-care and self-love. So when I decided that I was going to put all my effort into taking care, and then after that, we wrote ourselves a letter. And in my letter, I said, "Dear Tajane, I forgive you for all the bad decisions and mistakes you made. I know you did the best that you could with what you knew and what you had. For those mistakes, and you will move forward. I believe that as you go forward, you will continue to make mistakes as you're human, but you will learn from them and you will move forward. For myself, but the biggest one was forgiving myself. That was a hard thing for me to do, forgive myself in that moment. And then we did more breathing exercises, and after the breathing exercises, we hugged ourselves. Now, out of 30 years, I never hugged myself before. I thought that was weird, but I said I was going to give all my effort into it, so I hugged myself. I needed that hug. That started my journey of self-love. I did not think it was possible to love myself. I hated myself for so many years. But once I wrote myself that letter and gave myself that hug, I just fell in love with myself. So when I look in the mirror and I say my positive affirmations now, I'm speaking from the heart. I'm putting bass in my voice. I'm believing, and it makes me feel good. If I don't take my walk in the morning, it imbalances my day. So if I don't take it in the morning, I got to take it by my lunchtime, by noon. I need to go outside. Those things really help with my mental health. Listening to positive songs, especially gospel music, reading God's word, praying to him because he has blessed me over and over again. All of these things very, very makes me feel very, very good.
I love that you were able to give folks so much advice in terms of how practicing self-care looks like for you, so that folks can kind of tune in and listen and apply that to themselves. So if you're listening to this, I want your homework assignment to be tonight to write a letter to yourself. Write a letter, actually just write dear and write your name. And then I promise you, as soon as you put, because people are like, well, what am I going to write? There's something about when you pick up a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, and then you just start doodling or writing out, it actually flows from the brain and transfers to the pencil. Because there have been times where I journal and I'm like, well, I don't have nothing to talk about today. So I thought, and then I'm 5 pages deep into my journal and I'm like, well, damn, I guess I had a lot inside of me. And so I want folks today, if you're listening, to take that and apply it to yourself in a way that you are able to validate yourself, validate the life experiences that you've been through, pour life into yourself in the ways that you wish somebody was capable of sharing and pouring into you. Because you're right, at the center of everything that exists around us is us, how we feel. No one can speak on behalf of ourselves rather than us, right? And so being intuitively connected to understanding where you are, understanding what you've been through, and knowing that although that you've been through so much trauma, it still does not have the power to define who you are today. Even if you're 30 years into your life, you know what I mean? Even if you're 40 years into your life, there's folks who have never experienced peace until they're 50 or older because, again, how we were raised, we've never been given those tools to help us accommodate life experiences. And so for folks, again, your homework assignment tonight is to write a letter to yourself. And then also, after you write the letter to yourself, I want you to give yourself that hug. Give yourself that hug. Because Tajane, when I said in that moment that you're explaining when you went up to your mom and she asked you, was this true? I felt like that version of yourself needed a hug too. And then the version of yourself that sat on the sidewalk. And then the version of yourself that was running to your grandma's house for safety. How many of us can think of those moments that we can also connect to? What version of yourself really needed that hug? Give yourself that hug, right? And so I really want to appreciate that because, wow, you are a gem. You are a diamond. You are someone who has just experienced so much, yet pouring so much out of you that is liberating to hear, but also peaceful for us to experience, to have hope again. Because if someone like you was able to experience that, then a lot of us can validate with those life experiences. Maybe it didn't look the same, but maybe it was almost similar. Or maybe it was the same kind of struggle, but different experience. And a lot of that allows for us to understand why we exist the way we do. Why do we have trust issues? Why do we struggle to tell folks where we are? Why are we afraid to ask for help when we need it? Like, all those things correlate with us being able to reflect on our life. Right? And so I'm going to read some of the comments. We have someone saying the human condition 916 saying, yes, hug your inner child, baby. Nay, you are a warrior queen. And I just want to validate that and give that acknowledgement as well. You're definitely a queen and someone who is going to inspire so many folks when you finish writing your book. And so the best advice that I can give is write that book for you and no one else. Right? Because when you write for you, it'll automatically bless everybody else with a message. And so I think that is the best way that we can begin to reflect and find comfort in releasing what almost seems impossible. Because like we were mentioning today, public speaking, more people are afraid to public speak than they are to die. Like statistically proven, more folks are afraid to go in front of people and actually talk about their life or life experiences or anything in general. When it comes to dying, because I guess when you die, you kind of don't feel nothing after that, right? When you public speak, you're like, here I am vulnerable. Here's my life experiences. Here's some things that I've been through that folks maybe may not have understood. And so to close off our live today, I wanted you to have the opportunity to leave folks with advice. For the folks who are listening today, what are some things that you can leave them off with?
First off, I agree. Write your love letter to yourself, hug yourself. Get you a strong foundation, whether that's believing in God, believing in yourself, loving yourself. I believe you need that strong foundation, something to fall back on whenever you're having a depressive episode or if you're anxious. Positive affirmations. I have 5 go-to affirmations that I use whenever I feel anxious, and my anxiety has come down a lot because of this. My five affirmations are, I am blessed. And when I say that, I instantly start getting all these thoughts of the reasons why I'm blessed. You know, I'm blessed because I'm alive. I'm blessed because I have my husband and my children. I have a job. I have a house. Like, all these come to mind, and it's like I automatically start to feel better. The worries comes down. Like, you're good. You're okay. The next one is, I am loved. And then I start thinking about the people who love me, my husband, my children, my family, my grandfather. I also say I'm happy. Even if I'm not happy in that moment, I'm going to convince myself I'm happy. And then I say I'm calm. And when I say I'm calm, I start to do the breathing exercises to calm down my mind, to calm down my body. And then lastly, I say I am at peace. Those are my five go-to positive affirmations that help with my anxiety. So I advise anyone who is struggling to get their positive affirmations and say them constantly, repeat them. Even if you start off, like you said, you don't believe them, like I did not believe in them. But now I am a faithful believer. They really do help. And also, if you need more help, like I do, I'm doing all these coping mechanisms, I'm taking care of my mental and physical health, but I need more help. If you need more help, seek it. Get a therapist. Get someone to talk to.
It's something about being able to vocalize and share out loud what it is that you're going through that helps you process those thoughts that just seem like they're all over the place. It's like that clarity comes in. And I get it because sometimes when I used to have my therapy session, sometimes I just talk and I wouldn't even need advice. I'm like, I just need to just talk. The whole hour would just be me talking. And at the end, they're like, okay, well, next week, you know, I'll probably give my response since you took up most of the time. But that's the beautiful part about it. There is space for you when you go to speak to someone who is a professional who can help you make sense of things that maybe may have not made sense at all to you before. And so your five affirmations, I want folks to be able to practice that as well, or find some affirmations that really are meaningful to you. Something that I did in my self-love journey is I got a sheet of paper and I wrote down all the affirmations that I felt spoke life into myself. And what I did is I taped it up in the mirror in the bathroom. So every time I brushed my teeth, right after I brushed my teeth, I'd look in the mirror and I'd say them out loud. Because it's something about not just reading them and seeing them, but saying it out loud, speaking that life to yourself and looking in your mirror to challenge that reflection that you see. Because if sometimes you're going to be staring in the mirror and it's your depressed self. And you never know when that depressed self needs to have those words spoken into so that you can start to feel like yourself or feel like you got hope or feel like you got it. And I love that you spoke it in a way that you said, when I tell myself I am blessed, I think of all the things that allow for me to be that. When I say that I am that I have peace, that you think of all those things that also surround that. When you also are mentioning, I feel like for one of me, one of my favorite things is to say I'm safe. My anxiety sometimes, or like I'm thinking about the future too much. Like, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this? What if that? Da, da, da. And I get caught up in the what ifs that I have to remind myself in this moment, you're safe. You have a house. You have shelter. You have food. You have what you need. You're safe. And then taking those deep breaths every time you say those affirmations is what biologically makes the difference of what we want to feel. Because it doesn't, when I say it, sometimes it still doesn't have the most powerful impact as it does when I take those breaths after it. I'm safe. You didn't feel it? Say it again. I'm safe. You get what I'm saying? And being able to engage in those kind of activities are super intentional and it speaks life into yourself. And so for folks who are joining in, I want you to also be able, that's another homework aside. We just giving y'all so much homework today. We want y'all to write some affirmations down that you feel that you could speak life into yourself. Tape them in your bathroom, in your car, in your office, whatever you feel like you're going to be in to be able to speak life into yourself that way. And so, Tajne, we definitely want to appreciate you. And I'm going to open up the floor one more time for you to share anything else that you'd like to share before we go into closing.
I just wanted to say thank you, Desiana, so much for this opportunity to conquer my fear of public communication, to be vulnerable, and to share my truth, my story. Thank you again for sharing your trauma experiences and your story, because that also encouraged me and inspired me to write my book again. I also want to say that regardless of whatever you may be going through right now, think about the times when you were struggling and you made it out of that. You know, when I lost one, because I was working two jobs, and I lost one of the jobs, I had to remind myself, girl, you're going to find another job. You're going to get another second job because you did it before. You're going to do it again. And so I have to think about all the times I struggled and I made it out of those struggles and how strong I am. So if you're struggling, just know you're going to make it out of the struggle. Just keep hope, keep faith, believe, manifest positivity. Do not manifest negativity. It is possible to manifest negativity. I did it before, and I'm trying so hard not to do it again.
We appreciate you so much, Tajnae, for not only coming on here and sharing your truth, but being so open to share the things that work for you and the ways that you're able to help cope with what you experience in life today. I feel like all the gems that you have been dropping are things that I practice and things that I hope other folks are willing to begin to engage in if they haven't yet. Because again, sometimes we have not had experiences of living life with having trauma, but then also being able to experience peace or joy in the midst of that. And so sometimes it does come from the way that we talk to ourselves, the relationship that we have with ourselves. Because if you don't have the support system around you like you wish you had, you got to remember you're still a person. You are still capable of giving that to yourself in the meantime while you find your community. And holding those positive affirmations, holding that space for yourself that's intentional to go up and go walking, to go up and journal. Those are things that allow for us to invest in ourselves. That investment can only benefit you. Sometimes I get it. It's easy to run away from what we feel. I get it. I've been there. I've been running for the majority of my life. But the moment that you begin to process and feel, I promise you, you'll feel it. And when you feel it, you'll feel it. You'll for sure feel it. But when you overcome that, it won't have that emotional attachment to it anymore. You'll be able to start talking about life experiences and folks are like, wait, how are you sharing that like that? How are you holding power when you acknowledge that? How are you doing, you know, how? Because when I talk about it, I still cry. And that just means that we have to give ourselves that time to really feel what we probably didn't have the space and opportunity to feel. And so I believe we have a question in here before we close off. It says, how long did it take the both of you to really feel the change of affirmations? Wow. I'm going to have you go first and I'll go after you, Tajnae.
So it took me, I want to say, 2 months. It took me about 2 months. When I really started to get into it and be consistent and saying them every day, now is just automatic. I did the same thing as you. I actually got a Word document and wrote down all my positive affirmations. And every morning before I start work, I log onto my computer and I automatically say them before I start work. And I actually shared the positive affirmations on my Instagram, but it took me about 2 months.
And I can say this. Same. It took me about 2, maybe 3 months. The first month was me forcing myself to say it even when I didn't feel it. The second month was me starting to believe it a little more, but still kind of weary of it. Like, how is speaking life? How is saying this really going to change your life? The third month was me believing it and feeling weird when I didn't say it to myself. Because when I stopped speaking life into myself, when I stopped affirming myself, is when the negative thoughts took over and then I lose it. I felt like I wasn't and the best version of myself that I wanted to be. And so it's definitely a journey. I want to acknowledge and validate that so that it doesn't scare folks away. And when they're like, I'm 2 days into this trial and it's not working. Give it some time, I promise. When you speak life into yourself, it really does make a difference because the negative thoughts that you start to hear become silent. And then the positive ones exist in your head, which bring you clarity, creativity, and allows for you to find almost a sense be more aligned to what your purpose is, to where your pain doesn't have power over you and your power is reclaimed in those life experiences. And so thank you so much for that question, Tajnae. Thank you so much for being a guest speaker on here. For the folks who are tuning in, who have been participating and sharing, I know there's a book that was shared on here that's called Break the Habit of Being Yourself. That is a book that is being recommended for folks as well. So if you're into reading, definitely check out that book. I do want to let folks know that there is an app called I Am, and it's a free app. Just skip when it starts telling you to pay. Just put wait till the X pop up. Okay, people don't know this. The X will pop up. Hit that X button. You get the free version. You get to set your affirmations to come into your phone. If you're someone who is always on your phone and maybe you're just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and you forget to live your own life and you're, you know, almost consumed by that, an affirmation will pop up for you and it'll be the perfect one in that moment. I have all the affirmations I get on my phone. I'm like, damn, I didn't know I needed that right now. And so there are some apps and ways that we can also connect ourselves to that can reaffirm us in the ways that we would like to, especially when we're kind of distracted from ourselves and into the world. And so again, Tajanae, thank you for being a special guest. For the folks joining in, whether on IG Live or on Apple or Spotify, we appreciate you. We hope this conversation was just as reflective for you all and that you're able to take in and do the homework assignments that we have assigned to you. Okay, I'm going to call all of y'all and check in to see if y'all did it. But no, for seriously, the investments that we engage in ourselves are what helps us reach the best versions of who we are. And so again, Tajanae, thank you so much. And for all folks listening, have an amazing and safe weekend.
Thank you again for tuning in with my podcast, Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on your notifications for future episodes that will be full of authentic storytelling by members of our own community. You can find me on Instagram at CONFI_DEZ. If you haven't already gotten your copy of my poetry book titled The Becoming of Her, be sure to get yours today. We forget that reading is just as reflective and powerful. I'm sending lots of love and peace and light to you all. May we continue to heal ourselves and each other every day.